Next up, we've got Andrea from NCOD. She's going to speak to you and tell you a little bit about what she's doing, and I hope you'll enjoy what she's got to say.
Thanks a lot. Hi. Okay, well, I decided to come on after Dennis, since I come into this through the AIDS door. Okay. As Claire said, my name is Andrea, and I'm from the European NGO Coalition for Just and Effective Drug Policies. I also edit the user's voice, which came out of the AIDS and AIDS-affected and Hep C-affected drug-using community in this country. As an ex-user, it was not easy for me to be rolling joints for my husband who was dying from AIDS, but I learned and I got good at it. NCOD represents most European countries and over 100 drug policy reform organizations. We recently took part in another drug policy hearing in the European Parliament where we presented the head of the European Commission's anti-drug unit, a peace pipe. We have basically been gathering members of the European Parliament and members of civil society to talk collectively about how we're going to end this drug war. It's a war on our people. I have come here today to offer some words of solidarity. Actually, I'm not a great cannabophile. I rarely take it. It just doesn't seem to agree with me. The plant that I loved was opium, and after some time using heroin, I became dependent on it. Thankfully, that ended some time ago. One of the reasons politicians cite for criminalizing users of cannabis is that the use of cannabis leads to addiction to other drugs like heroin. The so-called gateway theory. That is at the very least misguided information, if not an outright law. And there are very many lies that uphold this international prohibition, and we need to undo them in our own minds, as well as millions of people around the world. There is a country which proves this point with its own research and evidence base. Usually, arguing our case is tricky, given that there is little evidence base that shows what loosening up drug laws would result in. However, in this case, we can look to Holland for one country to prove our point. Holland has had de facto non-criminalized availability of cannabis through the coffee shops for almost 30 years. I know you all knew that. Okay, I knew that. And in that country, just 13% of the Dutch teenagers, 15 and 16-year-olds, smoke cannabis, compared to 17% in the United States of America, which has such a hardcore repression of this substance. During that time, the numbers of young people during the time of the coffee shops has also reduced in terms of new recruits to the injection drug-using community. In terms of harm reduction, this is a huge benefit. That means a lot less people are at risk of picking up bloodborne diseases, whether it be HIV or one of the hepatitises, which are diseases that spread very rapidly, particularly in the case of hepatitis. So please recognize that these are two great things that we've achieved in terms of challenging prohibition internationally. Though we cannot prove a direct correlation, we should at least be willing to look at this more honestly, something which particularly US drug warriors have been absolutely unprepared to do. Other drug policy commentators say there has, however, been an increase in numbers of cannabis users in Holland, though the evidence for that is in dispute. Even if that were true, from the harm reduction point of view, I cannot say this enough. That would not necessarily be an issue, as the numbers of injectors have gone down, and therefore the numbers of people at risk of fatal bloodborne diseases that hurt injectors and their loved ones has also gone down. And it also means a lot less people are in prison. In the United States of America, Dennis didn't talk about this much, thousands and thousands and thousands of black people who have been addicted to drugs or just taken cannabis are in prison, 13 times more than our white compatriots. We need to take this on in this country, where we are seeing this increasing development, and particularly amongst women also. Let me say in all honesty, I have no doubt that one of the factors that made drugs irresistible for me as a child was their illegality. The reason that I speak about this issue at all is because I am firmly convicted by the belief that the most vulnerable kids will be attracted to the forbidden fruit. And those that are even more vulnerable will stick with illegal drugs when the vast majority of young cannabis experimenters will get more interested in other things. That's why I'm here today. So I come here to ask all to ditch the old nonsense about the gateway theory. Cannabis is not what leads to drug dependency, but a whole heap of things that many of us already know about intuitively. So they're social, they're economic, they're inside, spirit and emotion. Take care of yourselves and each other. Thank you for listening.